We'll close the service.
Greetings again in the precious name of Jesus. It's, in one sense, it's hard to believe that we're at the last evening of these meetings. I wonder if that's a little bit how it will be at the end of life. You know, we've been looking forward. I've been anticipating with eagerness and nervousness and I don't know what other emotions, and finally came, and now once it's about gone. And I wonder when we stand at the end of life and look back, it's a little bit the way life will have gone so fast. But our lives have been touched and blessed by your warmth and kindness, and the congregation here, we just want to say thank you. I was trying to think of how many things that I should say thank you for. And the first thing I want to say is to John for getting the youth together. I don't see John, but anyway, thank you. And to the youth for singing. I enjoyed in your selections of songs. It just ministered to my heart. When I found out y'all were stopping, I tried to negotiate with Steve and just see if we just couldn't have singing this evening, but weren't able to work out a deal. So, but thank you for that. I certainly enjoy singing, and God bless you as you do sing. I've felt like I didn't know quite where to go after the fellowship meal today, because we were talking about what our parents taught us, and my mother always taught me to thank somebody for the lunch, and that probably should have been everybody, so thank you. Certainly enjoyed the good dinner. It was very good, the fellowship and getting into your homes and the meals and all your encouragements and letting us know that you were praying. It meant a lot, and we feel like, Sarah and I feel like we have been tremendously blessed by learning to know you better in the fellowship that we had, and just wish you God's blessing. Keep serving the Lord and being faithful. We are in the last days. We're in the end times, or we're in perilous times, and we need to stay close to God. We need each other, and I just want to encourage you on. Do give an invitation to come to Dublin sometime, Dublin, Georgia. Come see us, and I wish that I could visit with each one of you after the service, but I'm pretty sure that's not possible. So I'll tell you now, I wish each and every one of you God's rich blessing. Be faithful. Between here and sunset, God will take care of you. And then the songs, the other songs we sang, was so much about thinking about home. Let's be faithful. One of the blessings of heaven, that there'll never be an end there. We can be there and worship and praise Him forever and ever. So God bless you. Keep faithful till then. The goal that I thought of for these meetings was that we would have a greater love for God and His Word, an increased commitment to serve Him. And I hope that we have reached that goal. I wanted you to remember that God is more interested in your eternal good than He is in your present comfort. Sometimes the way grows weary and long, and the path to heaven gets hard, and the trials here burden us down. But remember, I hope you get a picture of Almighty God, the one that just spoke and all this world came into existence, the one that is over us, and He looks down and He humbles Himself, Psalm 113, to see the children of men. I like that picture, just thinking of God looking down, and there we are, and there He is with His hand waiting for us to reach up. So when the load gets heavy, keep going. Remember, He's more interested in your eternal good than He is in your present comfort. I would like to sing our song one more time. Number 43 in your folder. Was a request to sing every verse. I think that was a good request. We will honor it. Those of you that are able to stand, let's stand together and sing. To
Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath bought and bought for me, I might shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, oh blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath poured in bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each need supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more. Complete in thee, yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath poured and bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace has conquered, reigned within. Thy blood shall bid the sinner flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath poured and bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assemble are, among the chosen I shall be at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath poured for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, holy, holy, holy is your name. We worship as we bow before you and marvel that as poor creatures of the dust, we can look up and call you Father. Thank you that you are humbling yourself at this moment to look down upon us and you see this group gathered here in this building and you know our hearts, Lord, and we just thank you that you care about each one of us. Thank you so much that we're able to be justified, all the blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your precious blood that brought our pardon, our salvation. We look to you, Lord. We ask for your help, your blessing. Thank you for being with us this week and ministering to my needs, Father. And just bless each one that is here tonight. And Lord, that we all together would be drawn closer to you. Have your way in this meeting. Work in our hearts. May your Spirit be here. Be in our midst, Lord. and restrain the evil forces, and may your holy name be praised and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask it through Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You may turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 for the message tonight. I would like to speak on Christ, our strength and joy. Christ, our strength and joy. I don't know if it's just me or if it's really actual, but it seems like over the last number of years I have heard more emphasis on the work of Christ and Him being the head. And I'm thankful for that. And I want to emphasize tonight again, maybe this is just like the final nail into everything we've said this week. But Christ must be the head of our life. It's through Him that we have salvation. It's through Him that we have peace with God. It's through the blood of Christ that God imputes righteousness on, imparts righteousness on our account. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning and listening to that. There's no other way. And you can think about it. I think you're going to finish the lesson next week. But on what basis does God put righteousness on our account? And I believe we'd all agree, it's through the blood of Christ. There's no other way. When we get to heaven, it's because we accepted the work of Christ in our heart. He is the cornerstone. He's the reason for our organization. He is the head. And we need to be focusing on me, us, serving Him. You know, our gathering together as a brotherhood is more than just some social organization and how can we, you know, just kind of keep things right and, you know what I mean? It's about us serving Him. It's about Jesus being the head. How can we be followers of Him? And we're to be brothers and sisters and work together for the cause of following Christ. It's not just to have some mere earthly organization, but it's about Christ. And this emphasis on Christ should never detract from obedience. I don't want to go down that trail for one half a mile. I believe that when our hearts are poured out to the Lord Jesus Christ and we have a love for God, and along with that, we will have to have a love for His Word. He said, in the Psalms, He said He has magnified His Word above His name. You can't love God without loving His Word. You can't love God without loving your fellow man. And so when we have that love for God and when we're sold out to the Lordship of Jesus, then we want to take this Word and apply it. It becomes part of our heart and life. And we want to know how God wants us to live. This is the book that gives direction how to live. This is the book that has the answers for life. Whatever your problems are, this is where you find the answers. So an emphasis on the Lordship of Jesus should never detract from obedience to His Word. But I emphasize again that we're saved by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's us accepting the precious blood of Jesus. That is what puts us in a right standing with God. It's not that, okay, we stop doing this and we start doing this and we just have a whole lot of performance issues and then God accepts us. Are we agreed on that? I see some shaking. Can we have an amen? Thank you. We come to God and we realize that we are sinners. And God is holy. And God cannot tolerate sin. It can't even be in His presence. And that's the beauty of heaven. There will be no sin there. The power and the presence and the practice of sin will be gone forevermore. It's not in the presence of God. And we realize down here on earth all at once, I'm a sinner. You know, sometimes young children come and they want to get right with God because, well, when you talk to them, boils down, they did something wrong. They knew they shouldn't have, and they feel guilty because of a sin. And a lot of times you can help them get that cleared up and they have peace. But at some point in your life, and a lot of times it's quite a bit older than probably what we were when we gave our hearts to the Lord, you realize, I was a sinner. I am a sinner. My whole life, if I didn't do any, you know, I didn't lie, cheat, or steal, I'm still a sinner. And we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from sin. So that when God looks at our life, He sees that we have applied the blood of Christ to our life. And He sees the blood of Christ. And He forgives. And we're accepted in the Beloved. And if we have a performance-based religion, we will have very, very, very much trouble with assurance of salvation. If we feel like we have to, if we're accepted because of performance and we have to do this and I just haven't quite achieved and I want to do this. Now, please stay with me. That's not why we're saved, because we get everything right. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, can I go back and just repeat? We take this book and we try. And we want to be a follower of Christ. Remember that I heard Brother Dale Heisey was here last year, and he may have used the illustration here. He used it in Dublin a couple of years ago when he was there. But he said that we're like the little first grader that's in class. And, you know, he's not the top of the class, and he struggles with his work. And he just can hardly do it. The teacher gives an assignment, and he has a tear running down his cheek. And he says, he looks up at the teacher, and he says, "Teacher, I can't do it. But if you help me, I'll try." Why does the teacher accept that student? Why does she love that student? Why is she willing to do anything for that student? Because she has the heart of that student. And that's the way it is with us. You will never be perfect. You weren't saved the first day you gave your heart to the Lord because of any perfection of your own. And none of us are perfect today. I told you earlier that the way you got saved is the way you stay saved. And we bow at the cross in all of our humanity and all of our weakness and frailty, and realizing that and how much we need the Lord and how much we need His help every day. And we cry out, "Oh God, help me. I can't do it, but if You help me, I will try." And Jesus, again, reaches down that hand to help those that are reaching up. Christ, our strength and joy. I wanted that base to start this message on. I'd like to go to Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21. I'm probably going to have to talk quieter again, or it won't last. But if I get excited about the blood of Christ and our need of Him, I can hardly keep quiet. Let's turn to Ephesians 3, verse 14. Thinking of Christ, our strength and joy, I wonder how many of us, in our honesty, would say we lack those two ingredients. We lack strength and we lack joy sometimes. Paul says in verse 14 of chapter 3, the book of Ephesians, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when he says "for this cause," we need to look for what cause he's talking about. He's going ahead and describing Christ a little more, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And now this is the cause that I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Paul had a real burden for the little church at Ephesus. He had been with them a short period of time on his first missionary journey, and on his second missionary journey he stayed for, I think it was, a year and a half. And he wrote them a letter. And he said, "This is the reason I stay on my knees, that Christ, head over all,
would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened. I like that word according, and we'll see it some more. Strengthened with might by His Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's what I was talking about. Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There was that word according, and I think we're going to read some more scriptures through the evening that have that word according. It's talking about Him that is able to do way more than we can ask or think, and then according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, it's almost like a hitch here. And we see the power is so great, and it's able to work in us. Now, if this power that raised Jesus from the dead is able to be translated into usable form and put into us, should we ever have excuse for our weakness? I would say that most times it's that we have not availed ourselves to this power, to this strength. I want to notice in this passage again that Christ is the foundation for strength. By faith, faith always will strengthen. Fear always will weaken. In life's circumstances, we become dizzy and fearful if we look down at the water of wonder. But if we keep our eyes on a stable object ahead, we remain secure and stable. Peter was an example. You remember the account in Matthew 14. Jesus, they had been so busy. Jesus told them to go on across the sea. And He went to pray. And they rowed all night. And it was in the fourth watch, which is from 3 to 6 a.m. Jesus came walking on the water, and the waves were high, and they were having so much trouble. And Jesus just came walking, and it was like He was going to go by. And they saw Him, and of course Peter was the first one to have to say something. And he said, "Lord, if it's You, bid me to come." And Jesus just gave that little word, "Come." And so Peter goes to the edge, and I like to imagine that, him just coming out over the boat and stepping on the water, and just walked right out, and he didn't go down. He was seeing Jesus. But you know what happened? It wasn't long until the Bible says he was beginning to sink. And I always, until just recently, I imagined that all at once, Peter, just kind of like you do when the water gives out and you go, "Bloop." But the Bible says he was beginning to sink. What happened? He saw the waves around him. And I really believe that Peter just started going down. Because Jesus had time to come over and get a hold of him and pick him back up. Now, if the water had just done like water usually does, he would have been gone. But isn't that what happens to us? We start looking around at the waves, the turmoil in our life, the fears that are ahead of us, the things that are so uncertain, the things that are out of our control, the things that strike fear to our soul. And don't we begin to sink? We just start beginning to sink, and we start going down. And I'm thankful we have that opportunity to look to Christ. He is the foundation for strength, and how many times He reaches over and takes us up. And He took Peter into the boat, and the water was calm. I would like to turn to Colossians and notice Paul's prayer there. It's basically just emphasizing the same thing over again. But it's a beautiful prayer. Colossians 1, verse 9.
In verse 9 he says, for this cause. Now we need to look around. Now what is he talking about? I think he's referring back to verse 4 where he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, for this cause. I should read a little more on that verse 4, because the faith in Christ Jesus, and we heard of your love which you have to all the saints. And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Isn't that amazing that we, as poor mortals of the dust, can actually be down here on this little planet Earth? I did happen to put the earth in my pocket this evening. I'm going to just put it back up here. Those of you who are here Monday night know what that is. That's the earth sized down to a quarter. And remember, the sun would take to be at those same proportions would be a 9-foot circle. And Betelgeuse, one of the larger stars, would take a circle 3 times the height of the Twin Towers. And the large one, VY Canis Majoris, would take a circle 3 miles high. And this is planet Earth. This is how small we are. But to think that God, from somewhere up in heaven, we can't even see out far enough to see where it is, He looks down and He sees planet Earth. And He knows the 6 billion people that are there. And we are actually able to look up and to please Him? How in the world could that be? But Paul's prayer is that the Colossians might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the next word, strengthened. With all might, according to His glorious power. There you have it again, that according. You can be strengthened according to His power. I guess too many times our hitch pin is too small, isn't it? You put a little teeny hitch pin in one of your high-powered tractors and hook it on a heavy equipment and you know what will happen. Maybe that's what happens. Our hitch pin's too small. But we can be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power and patience and long-suffering. And this is the next word, with joyfulness. Not just strengthened to where you can grumble and mumble and get by with life, but with joyfulness, even in the midst of of troubled times and troubled things, and give thanks to the Father which has made us and meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh, what a privilege we have. What a privilege. I think too many times we don't understand what a tremendous privilege we have to be a child of the King and be translated in the kingdom of His Son. And we kind of think, well, I'm almost doing God a favor because I've decided that I'm going to start trying to do what He wants me to do. Who receives the favor? It's ours. It's our favor. And that we're able to please Him is a marvel. Well, here again in this passage, we see that Christ is the foundation for strength. And without this foundation, there is no joy. Without Christ, there is no joy. If we're trying to do it on our own merits, if we're just trying to get better. You know, sometimes people say, well, I need to quit running to people. Well, I need to quit smoking. And when I quit smoking, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. Or maybe it's, and it could be a lot of other things. When I quit doing this, you know, that's a little bit like being sick and say, well, just as soon as I get better, I'm going to go to the doctor. That's about how much sense it makes. We need the Lord and we need Him now, and He will help us. No joy, no strength without Christ. Now, I want to look in the Word. Where does strength come from? I have about 7 points where our strength comes from. And the first one is knowing God. Just a very, very basic. There's just a couple of scriptures in the book of Isaiah. I'd like to turn to Isaiah 26:4. Isaiah, trust ye in the Lord. Here we go with, remember the way it's spelled, you can tell the name of God that it's using. Trust ye in the everlasting, the ever-present one, the eternal contemporary, the one who always was, the one who always will be. Trust in Him forever. He'll forever be there, so forever trust in Him. For in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. So many other verses. Chapter 12 in the book of Isaiah. Behold, verse 2, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, here we go again, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. There's a thread that goes with this trust. When we trust in God, He gives us strength. And you see that thread? It's something about a song. It's something about joy. I think so many times I take the load on my own shoulders and I try too hard to carry it myself without taking it to Him, without realizing how big God is and how He is so well able to carry the load. Psalm 18:32 would say about the same thing. Psalm 73:26 says, My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, thinking about needing strength. Habakkuk 3:17 says, Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, you mean, even though if it wouldn't rain here anymore until after harvest and the crops wouldn't make, even though, and you could just go on and on, even though there's church stress and family issues and financial struggles and health issues, but what does he say in verse 18? He says, Yet I will rejoice in the Eternal One. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God, the Eternal Strong One, is my strength. And I want to tell you, there is no place for strength. You will not find strength like you need for life outside of knowing God. The second place, where does strength come from, is from the joy of the Lord, delighting in the way. And I should have said, I think there's a difference between happiness and joy. And if you look in the dictionary, you could argue with me on that. But I like to think of it as being a difference. Happiness is more what happens to you. You know, something good, we have a good crop, we're happy. Maybe play a game of volleyball and our side wins, we're happy. A lot of other things. Happy. Joy. I like to think of joy as delighting in the Lord. And you can delight in the Lord when all the world is against you. I think you can delight in the Lord when you're in prison. Now, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And this verse is found in Nehemiah 8 through 10, and he says, The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is after building the wall, and they read from the law and explained it. And the joy of the Eternal One, the joy of sins forgiven. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We have another one on down that's will fall in right behind that one. But the next one, number 3, where does strength come from? Is prayer. I thought of Jesus' example. Real soon in Jesus' ministry is where Herod took John the Baptist and beheaded him. And I thought, of all people that should give their life, why would John the Baptist? Here was one that was foretold by an angel that he was coming. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. And why would he go through these hardships? And my mind goes back to that phrase that we've been talking about all week, about God being more interested in our eternal good than our present comfort. And somehow through life, there's a lot of things that we never have the whys for. And I guess this would be one of them. Why? Why did he allow John to be taken? He was in prison because Herod hated him, because he preached
righteousness to him, told him it was against the law to have his brother's wife. And he was killed. Word came to Jesus, and what did Jesus do? Jesus was sad. Jesus went out into the mountain and prayed. And I think it's the most beautiful example for us. We need communion with God. We need to reach the Almighty when the load comes crashing down. There's no other place like going in your closet, falling on your knees and talking to God. I'm not talking about just letting your mind turn. Sometimes that's all we can do. But I think it's good to actually talk to God. As a friend talks to a friend. Look up and talk to God. Tell Him your problems and your struggles and your fears. And ask Him, oh God, please be with me. And prayer will bring strength. Number four is the way of the Lord instead of our own way. And that's just taken from a verse in Proverbs 10:29. When we take the way of the Lord instead of our own way. You know what happens when we take our own way? It only takes us farther from God. It only lets more of an emptiness in our soul. It only lets more of a craving for something to satisfy. But when we take the way of the Lord, then He pours His strength into our heart. There's a joy there. There's a meaning in life. There's fulfillment. Answers are in the Bible for your discouragement, friend. When we feel down, when we feel depressed, discouraged, I challenge you, go to the Word of God for strength and choose God's way. And when we take God's way, I don't know of anything better for our emotional health than to choose to serve God. Recognize, maybe I should say number one, recognize God for who He is, the eternal Almighty One, all-powerful. Commit our way to Him and trust Him and then begin to praise Him. And we'll get into that one just in a little bit. But I don't know of anything better for our discouragements than to start praising the Lord. Number five, where does strength come from? It comes from putting on God's armor. I want to turn to Ephesians 6 and read just a few verses there about God's armor. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Here comes something about strength again. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He didn't say anything about the power of their own might. And then he goes right on and talks about putting on that armor of God. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need more strength than what we have to offer. We need His help. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And standing is implying strength. We must put on God's armor. Strength comes from the breastplate of right living. It comes from walking in the gospel of peace. His helmet is protection for the mind. There's nothing for the mind like just knowing that Almighty God is in control and you can trust Him. Put on God's armor. Bible reading is part of putting on the armor. Prayer. Brotherhood. You know, a brother mentioned this morning, I think it was in the devotion, about the mirror. And somebody said that you cannot see all of yourself unless you have three mirrors. And I guess I think that's right. But if you have one in front and three mirrors evenly spaced around, then you can see all of yourself at one time. I think we need three mirrors, and they being the Bible, and prayer, and the brotherhood to help us to see ourselves. I think too many times we like to discredit the need for brotherhood. You know, I'm pretty strong, and I can do it myself, and
Maybe we're a little too proud to take advice and listen to someone bring rebuke to us. But we need those three mirrors, the Bible. We need prayer, which would go along with prayer would be the leading of God's Spirit and brotherhood. Number six, where does strength come from? It comes from quietness and confidence. And I talked about this, mentioned it one other time, about the need for quietness in our life. Sometime in the day where we can block out the noises. And I mentioned about getting up in the morning, and I was challenged since then that some people are not morning people. Some people are evening people, and that's perfectly all right. I can't imagine sitting up at night and reading my Bible. I'd be sleeping. But I can't imagine getting up and falling asleep reading it in the morning. So that's my testimony. But if you're one of the... I'm just going to say, sometime in the day we need fellowship with God. Take His Word, whatever works for you. And we need that quietness when the noises are off. Take your old phones and set them aside. And quietness. Quietness is to the soul what rest is to the body. And how long would your body go without rest? You can try it a while. Like you probably try it a little bit in harvest time, don't you? Doesn't work out long, does it? And that's the same way it is with quietness to our soul. Time that we can reflect and meditate and let God speak to us in quietness and confidence. Isaiah chapter 30 says that, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Isaiah 30:15. Another little account in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 20 is where the Ammonites and the Moabites were coming against Jehoshaphat. And they were, I don't know how many people, but just thousands of them were coming against the children of Israel. And he gathered the people together and he prayed and he said, "Oh God, I don't know what to do. What shall we do?" It was the next day, Jahaziel, I believe was his name, had a word from the Lord. And he came and he said, "Be still and know that I am God." Here was these thousands and thousands. They were outnumbered completely coming against them. And God saying, "Be still and know that I am God." I want to tell you, turn with me to Psalm 46. When Jahaziel, I hope I'm right on that name, but anyway, that... I think that's who it was, told him that. This is the song they started singing. So historians tell us. Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the Ammonites and the Moabites are coming against us." And they go on and on and down to verse 10 and see what he says. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God." And you know what? You go back to Chronicles 26 and it said, when they began to sing, the Lord gave the victory. I want to encourage you, sisters. I want to encourage you, brothers. When the battle is on, when the heat is on, and when you feel the oppression, and when you feel like the whole world is falling on your shoulders, be still and know that He is God. Start singing this. I'm not going to do it now. But start singing, "God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear." Spend time to meditate. Stop. Get the noises away from you. Our strength comes from quietness and confidence. And number seven, our strength comes from accepting our lot in life. I want you to listen close. Our strength will come from accepting our lot in life as from God. And I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 12. And I believe at some point Every one of us are tested on this. Some probably more than others, I would be sure. But every one of us are tested. And it's so easy to look over at somebody else and say, well, their lot in life is so easy. They have it made. Why don't I have this? Why do I have this? And why don't I have that? I can pretty much assure you that if I would have just picked out what I wanted for life, it wouldn't have been what God had for me. I'm saying that to say that every one of us come to this point where we need to accept our lot in life as from God and be satisfied and thank Him and maybe even start to sing. The Apostle Paul came to a point, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said unto me," the Lord said to Paul, now listen, "My grace." I believe this is in Paul's quiet time that Jesus spoke to him and He said, "Paul, My grace is sufficient for you. For My strength is made perfect." It's made complete in your weakness. So He's talking to Paul. Paul's response was, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of" who? "Christ may rest upon me." I want to ask you something. Did Paul realize what would have happened without that thorn when he asked to have it removed? I don't believe he did. What would have happened? Well, he told us. He said, I would have been exalted above measure. I think Paul finally came to the point when he wrote this, he realized, I would have been a proud man. I mean, there were people taking at one point, I forget where he was, but they would take handkerchiefs from Paul to a sick person, and they would be healed. Little did he realize when he asked for this to be removed that he would have been a proud man. But he came to a point that he realized it. And he was willing to accept his lot in life as from God. And it goes back again to realizing who God is and the greatness of God. May I say it one more time? That He's more interested in your eternal good than He is in your present comfort. I don't know what all your lot in life is and where you came from and all the things that you wish you had and what you wish you didn't. But I can assure you that if you take Paul's testimony here and make this yours, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Oh, I wish. Yes, I'm honest enough that I wish that, and you fill in the blanks. That would be my desire. But God, if You'll be with me, I'll accept Your plan for me. He said, notice, "I will rather glory." In other words, there's that rejoicing again. In these infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I like that word. You look it up, and that rest upon gives the word of tenting over. Are you with me? Your infirmity, the thing that you wish you could get rid of, the thing that you wish would be different in your life, and it's possible that the glory and the power and the joy of the Lord will rest over you, it will tent over you. He'll pitch a tent over us. I would like to close with Isaiah 61. So many times we're like Paul. We just want God to take away the hard things out of our life. Make it easy. I think it would be very interesting to know what was afflicting Paul and what he wanted. But that's okay. We have enough of things we can think about our own wishes. But you know, one of the things that's probably natural to all of us, we want instant gratification. We really like the life of ease. And we, you know, sometimes nominal Christianity teaches that when you turn to Jesus, He'll give you an easy life. And I'm here to tell you, as long as you're walking the dusty trail of this earth, life will be a battle. Life will be a journey. There will be hard things to deal with. There'll be pain. There'll be suffering. There'll be death. There'll be heartaches. And you'll never get out of that on this side. Isaiah 61. And this is the passage that Jesus read in Luke 4. When he was in the synagogue and they asked him to read the scripture. And he stood up and he read and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's where Jesus shut the book and sat back down, and all eyes were upon him. He said when he sat down, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Do you know why he didn't read on? Because the next phrase had not been fulfilled yet. "And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Maybe you're wondering how this fits in. And I don't know what do you think about when you read that? And how that he says he's going to give them, and I take it for us, he's going to give us beauty for ashes. I can tell you how I used to think about it. Pretty much the nominal Christianity viewpoint. He's going to take away your ashes, and he's going to give you something beautiful. I would read it that he was going to take away that mourning and give you all of joy. He's going to take away that spirit of heaviness and give you where you can just, you know, have praise and worship. But I don't think that's what he's saying. I'd illustrate it this way. If I give you a lamp for your living room, am I taking away your living room? I gave you a lamp for your living room. You see where I'm going? I think he's saying here, I'm going to give you beauty to go along with your ashes. I'm not taking your ashes away, but I'm going to make something beautiful out of your life if you just trust me, if you follow me. Yes, it's still going to be hard, but I'm still going to be there. And I'll give you strength according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. I will give you strength, and I will make something beautiful out of those ashes. I'll give you oil of joy to go along with your mourning. You may be sitting there pouring, you know, tears running down your cheek. Things are hard. There are sad things in life and disappointments and trials and tears. But Jesus said, I'll give you oil of joy to go along with that. And I'll give you the garment of praise to go along with your spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. What do you think when you think of trees? I think of something that's strong. Strength. We've been talking about strength. And what's the purpose? He said, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You see, brother, you see, sister, God wants to take your life, and He's going to plant something. He has something planted there. He's going to bring something out for His purpose. It's going to be, it's His planting. Don't pull against it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to rebel against it. But accept your lot in life as from God. And listen to the last part. That He might be glorified. Not me anymore, but that He might be glorified. God bless each of you tonight. I don't know what you're struggling with. I want to open it up. I want to give one last formal invitation.
I challenge you again that it's only in Christ will you find strength and joy. And if your heart is beating rapidly and you know that you're not what you ought to be, and you know that you've been walking the wrong road, I want you to come. Maybe you've committed your heart to God, but there's something in your life that you haven't been willing to give up. Maybe you haven't accepted your lot in life as from God. And you're willing to give it all up to God and say, God, plant my life for your honor and your glory. I want to be a tree planted by the rivers of water. We're going to give you an invitation tonight. Stand to your feet, raise your hand, come forward, come to the room somehow. Let it be known that you need help, and we will be glad to pray with you. I think, again, we'll sing Just As I Am without one plea. I'll ask you again to please bow your heads, close your eyes, and prayerfully we'll sing. And if you're ready to come out for the Lord, let it be known.